to First Bite, brought to you by Pride of Detroit. That's right. Me, the adequate host, Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T, is back here hosting. Adequately hosting. Not Jeremy. He's here, though. This is First Bite, your preview podcast for the week for Bears and Lions. And because net neutrality was dismantled, it now costs $20 to listen to this past this point. Pony up, Jeremy.
I've already been demoted. I'm not pony up more money.
Ryan, pony up.
I don't have any money unless it's for gambling. Is net neutrality have anything to do with gambling?
Internet gambling, probably.
I'll find a real bookie.
That's fair. What about you, Rob? Robert Zaglinski, our guest at whatever the hell your Twitter account is. Robert Zaglinski? Is it just Rob Zaglinski?
What was the original question at this point? Do I have money for net neutrality or something, or the podcast? Yeah.
Something.
Just say yeah.
Let me get this out of the way and get to actually what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk. Robert Zaglinski is back, as always, the primo enemy of the show, it seems. And we brought him back because I think on this First Bite, Ryan and or Jeremy wants to yell at him. So I've been out of the loop from doing First Bite for a while. So I'm going to let Jeremy, are we just starting on injuries, or are you guys going to start by yelling at Rob?
I got yelled at last time because I promised a fight between the two, and they refused to fight on the last podcast. So I have to double down this time, I think.
Okay. Yeah, we'll double down. Where do you want to start? You've been the one who have all the notes for this stuff. I'm just here to host adequately.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's get the show on the road, though, because these things have been running way too long recently.
They have been, and now we've...
Yeah, you just complained about it. We used like 7 minutes already.
Well, someone start. What do we usually do on this show?
Injuries.
Thank you. Okay, this game is on Saturday, which confirms my longstanding belief that the Lions are actually a college football team, my college football team. So, Jeremy, where are we at on injuries?
Well, we have a rare opportunity because we actually have the full injury report out by the time we're recording this, so we know at least who has been declared out. And for the Lions, it's not great news. Starting center Travis Swanson out with a concussion, starting right tackle Rick Wagner out with the ankle injury. And then you have TJ Lang, M. Cleary, and Ezekiel Ansah all questionable. I think they all play, so I'm not too worried about that. But I'll ask you, Robert, we know that the Bears' defensive line isn't quite as good as it was in the last matchup because Leonard Floyd is gone, your boy. But they're still able to exploit a really broken-up offensive line, right?
Yeah, so first of all, rest in peace, Leonard Floyd. He'll be back. Second, Eddie Goldman's back. They have Lamar Houston. They didn't have Lamar Houston last time, so he's not necessarily as good as Floyd. I mean, they'll have their opportunities. Last time, the Lions were fully healthy on the offensive line, right? So they don't necessarily have the edge ability, but I expect a better pass rush.
And the Bears have a couple injuries of their own, although all four of the people who live are questionable. Is there any one of those guys? We have Adrian Amos, DeAndre Houston, Carson, Eddie Goldman, as you said, probably going to play, Adam Shaheen. Any of those you expect out this week? I know a couple of them missed last week.
If they practice today, the only guy I would probably be worried about is Amos because of his hamstring, but... Mm-hmm. Goldman, Shaheen wasn't anything too serious. I think he had the wind knocked out of him. He scored a touchdown against Cincinnati last week. And Houston Carson has, it's been reported as minor. So aside from Amos, that whole report, most of those guys will play.
If the injury report isn't all that interesting this week, and it really isn't, tell me about how the Bears have changed since the Lions have last saw them, because by my account, they've actually gotten significantly better. Am I wrong?
Well, after they lost the Lions, they got their ass kicked by the Eagles and then lost to a 2-10 Niners team. So I don't know if they've gotten that much better. But they opened up the offense last week They let Mitch Trubisky play. They used both Jordan Howard, Adam Shaheen, and Tariq Cohen perfectly. Like, they're three, like, top young talents they have on offense. And if that's going to continue through these last three games, then yes, they're better. But it was a one-game sample size. They will play better. Trubisky will progress more, and they're a better team if they have the kind of offensive balance. If they're aggressive, they were against Cincinnati. If not, I mean, there's always the possibility they could be blown out again. They have a lot of defensive injuries. Amos and Floyd are two big losses. So
one thing, at least last week against the Bengals, and I know this is probably going to get Ryan a little fired up, is kind of the explosion of Kendall Wright, who Ryan, I think, wanted the Lions to target last offseason. Was that kind of a one-time deal with him, or do you think he's becoming a favorite of Trubisky? Because if I'm not mistaken, Ingman didn't even get a target in that game.
He did not, no. Yeah, Kendall Wright is kind of Trubisky's safety blanket. So the Bears more or less ran their passing offense through him, aside from the occasional dump offs and rollouts to Shaheen. He's essentially their number one receiver. I mean, Inman is their most talented, naturally gifted receiver. But Trubisky feels more comfortable with Wright. And if they have a strong finish here, there's already been talk of an extension because he's only here in a 1-year deal. They upgrade the receiving corps, and you wouldn't see 10 reception games regularly, but you'd see a really good number three slot guy kind of continuing to play well through next year too.
Anyone else want to get in here? Got a question?
Ryan, why can't you fight him yet? What's going on?
We're gonna fight about the fucking injury report.
I don't know. Fight about something. You don't need to keep talking about the injury report.
Why can't we just be cordial? Why can't we just talk about football?
Absolutely not. God. Absolutely not.
Because the Lions are barely hanging on to playoff chances, and the Bears are playing for nothing, so why talk about football, right? Let's just kick each other's ass.
Well, I want to talk about football, but I want to talk about it in ways that just utterly, like, people are really mad about the fact that I'm going to stand up here and help out our own Alex Reno for a second. People are really mad about hashtag We Own the Bears.
Huh.
Oh, and we need to stand up for it.
This if we'd like.
What?
I can
see,
I'm not really that mad about it, but you can try it though.
Oh, god damn it! You were just retweeting their all-time record again.
Just because I retweet something doesn't mean I'm mad about it.
Endorsement.
Retweets are not an endorsement. That is not how it works. Are we gonna argue about me tweeting about not being mad about it, or is that how this is gonna go? Because I'm not.
I think no. We are getting mad about it in a
listen,
way.
Listen, Rob, retweets are not endorsements, only if it says so in your Twitter profile.
Oh, that's definitely it. That's the Seth Abramson, Seth Abramson way.
Oh, God. No, the Seth Abramson way is 200 threaded tweets.
Never mind.
You've never gone that. I've seen some of your threads before about Mitchell Trubisky, and you have not gone 200 yet.
I'm very Brandon, close there, though.
You have been. Granted, though, you also have a blog to write for. So, yeah, I mean, true. I guess we can start there just about what these teams are playing for at this point. So, I'm always fascinated by the fact that every time I talk with someone from Windy City Gridiron, it just seems to be shock and amazement that Fox still has his job.
Mm-hmm. Which is true. How the fuck is he still employed?
Is it just at this point, is it just kind of assumed that he's going to ride out the season, or is there a chance he might return?
No, he's done. There was a Pro Football Weekly report that had already had Ryan Pace seeking out his candidates. I talked about this with the guys last time. They're essentially leaving him up as like a guy to take the arrows. They're hoisting him up because they don't really trust Vic Fangio or Dow Loggins as interim guys. So they'd rather just ride it out, have their guy more or less picked out when Black Monday comes, and then let it go. And then Fox, there was also reports from Jay Glazer last week that even further confirmed it. He's already more or less accepted his fate. So he's just coaching in the typical shitty fucking way he does. towards the end.
Well, let's hope that he continues his quote unquote shitty fucking coaching on Saturday, because the Lions need to win and the Bears don't. So, I mean, to be honest, like, I mean, do you want the Bears to win this game, Rob?
No, I would rather just Trubisky play well. That is honestly all I care about from this game.
You're not a Bears fan. You're a Trubisky fan.
No, because that's all that matters. that's literally not it. So it doesn't matter for them to win. That's like a nice little experience factor. For me, the most important thing is the young guys playing well, the young guys progressing, because they're not playing for anything. And winning only takes away a draft slot. And I'm not always that draft slot guy. I got to get the best possible pick, because good teams draft no matter where they are. But I only primarily care about the young guys playing well, and the main guy there is Trubisky.
Right. And I mean, good teams draft well no matter where they are, unless you need to move up to get the quarterback that the team in front of you is not going to take.
That's true, yeah. If that's your attempt to start a fight, I'm not going to take that bite, so.
No, I mean, Rob, I totally agree. Like, I'm never draft position guy. Even, like, over on this side where people are, like, calling for Caldwell's job, there's a big contingent that want to see Caldwell let go. And they want to see a new guy come into place. And, like, there are Lions fans that want to lose games. Like, don't you see that as just, like, complete lunacy? Like, if there's still, like, a shred of a chance that the Lions still may make the playoffs. But with the Bears, like, I totally agree. I think it's just like, hey, I want Mitch Trubisky to, like, not throw three interceptions and not get killed.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be a problem against the Lions pass rush. But, like, I guess my point is, like, if I was a Bears fan right now, like, I wouldn't mind rooting for, you know, making sure that we have a top five pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
because, I mean, like you just said, like, I just want Trubisky to survive and progress if he can. Like, because none of the rest of the season matters. Fox is done. Like, I don't want Fox to add anything to his ledger. Like, there's nothing of real consequence aside from young guys growing up matters the rest of this season. That's literally it. I'd rather they stay as close to the top five as possible. Because again, Fox is done. Like, this isn't the guy that they're setting up any continuity for. Absolutely.
Okay, so let me get in here. I have a couple questions. One, so Lions, there's a contingent of Lions fans that are hoping the Lions lose not only for playoff or for draft position, but to seal Jim Caldwell's fate with the team. It kind of sounds like you're at least in the second camp with Chicago. You don't want to see the Bears win because you don't want them to have any excuse to keep John Fox. Is that right?
Well, I'm going to jump in before Rob answer that, because maybe I'll be preventing Rob's own answer here, because I think Jeremy, my answer to that would be, I think John Fox's fate is sealed. I don't know if
that's what I mean. Yeah, exactly. Fox's fate, even if the Bears win out, Fox is done. It's the draft. It's literally the draft position, because it's like, I want them to play well and play competitively well, but lose. If that makes sense.
Fox, that makes sense. Fox, yeah, no, done. That does make sense. My other question is, I was talking with the guy from Chicago Bears Review the other night, and he was all excited about how the Bears looked against the Bengals. And I brought up the question, and I'll bring it up to you too. Do you think the desperation on these coaches' parts right now is kind of pushing some sort of innovation, some sort of desperate need to change? Since not that they're fighting for the jobs with the Bears, that's their fate. Apparently their fate has been sealed there, but obviously they're looking to put good tape out there. So do you think maybe the offensive coordinator is trying more ingenious things at this point, just an attempt to find a job after the season's over?
Yeah, I actually threw that out there. I don't think Dowell Loggins wants to be coaching at Division IV UC Chattanooga after the year. You know, I think he wants to find some kind of job, at least in the NFL. I think Vic Fangio is going to be a guy a lot of NFL teams are going to want to hire as their defensive coordinator, as overrated as he is in my mind. And I mean, I don't know for John Fox's sake. I don't know what he's doing, because he's not going to be employed anywhere else. I mean, is he trying for like an ESPN gig or something? Because he's not going to find another job. But for those two, certainly. For those two, I think them opening it up, being aggressive, I mean, they still have some kind of a shot in the league or major college football.
Important correction here. Chattanooga is Division I.
No, it's Division IV, I'm pretty sure.
Chattanooga, Tennessee, Chattanooga. That's division.
Okay, fine. Like you, like FCS. You live some kind of fake name, Chris. Can we go with that?
Rob, here's the thing. Chris doesn't usually have a whole lot of opportunities to be right on the podcast. So when he does, he's an opportunity, he's going to take advantage of it.
Exactly. And you know what? I'm also going to seize upon an opportunity to take a break here. When we come back, we are talking more about keys to the game, big matchups, and trying to get Rob to just argue with us, I think. So we'll be right back.
I'm not going to take the fight.
Yes, you will.
No, I won't. We can fight about that, about me not taking the fight.
First Bite, trucking along, doing quite well. It's me, the adequate host, Chris Perfett, back with you here with Jeremy, Ryan, and Robert Zaglinski, who is announcing that he will just absolutely not fight no matter what, which is disappointing, and it makes me think that we need to get another Bears guest sometime.
I mean, take my friendship, throw it away, whatever.
Are we friends? No, here's the thing about Rob, though. Like, I hate Bears fans, but, like, if there's any Bears fan that I'm going to hate and, like, simultaneously want to talk to, though, it's going to be Rob. So, like, and I can't say that about anybody else. It's kind of like, it's kind of like.
No, I'm there.
It's kind of like Andy Benoit's take on Russell Wilson.
Are you comparing me to Andy Benoit?
Oh, we triggered him! We triggered him!
No, I'm not taking that bait either. I just have to clarify.
Hey, I'm gonna keep trying.
Seriously, God. Okay. All right. What are the big matchups we're all looking forward to in this game that we have not already talked about on a past First Bite that I was not present for?
The only thing that I'm super worried about is the well-being of Matthew Akeem Hicks is healthy and playing, right, Rob?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the only thing.
He hasn't had a sack in 6 weeks.
Well, I mean, that might change this week. Without Travis,
Lyon tell the team sack the time in 2 years last week.
And they're also missing Travis Swanson and Rick Wagner. I know they didn't have Rick Wagner last week, but they also played who last week?
The Bucks, who have like the worst pass rush in the league.
Yeah, see, I'm concerned.
Hey, second worst, all right? Give us some credit.
Akeem Hicks is a big, big, big man who's really
very
frightening.
Big.
Yeah, he's a big guy, so.
I actually had a name to ask about to Rob. I don't know if you guys talked about him last podcast, but I also do the five question with Jeff Becks. Is it Becks or Beckus? Am I saying it right, Rob?
I think it's Burkus.
Is it Burkus? Yeah. I leave out an R completely? Okay, cool. adequate. He's brought up the name Adam Shaheen, a name I'm also going to get wrong a few times.
Good.
What? Shaheen. Okay. Did you guys talk about Adam Shaheen last time?
No, because they weren't using him.
Right. So I've noticed he's definitely seeing a snap count increase now. I'm trying to find the numbers he had against the Bengals. He played
he had the snap count. WCG, hold on, let me find it, the exact number.
Yeah, 42% of the offensive snaps. So 32 of 76 offensive snaps against the Bengals. So he's definitely seeing more use. What can you tell us about Adam?
Well, it's nice that they're finally playing the best tight end on their roster. So I've always laughed that people compare him to Baby Gronk because he's literally accomplished nothing, and it's just because he's 6'6", 270. And that's a really drastic comparison for a guy who played Division II football, but he's still really good. I think there's a lot of justifiable excitement at the kind of player he would be. I think who I would compare him more to is a more athletic Keith Miller. Kind of how he plays. He's not exactly the smoothest route runner. He runs a little robotically, but he's really, really good. He's really, really athletic. And it was honestly really frustrating for most of the first 3 months that they hadn't flat out refused to play him. It wasn't because of him not being ready. I think they had a quote that everybody in Chicago media like loved picking apart because of the way they phrased it. We're extending his package, but that was an outright lie. Yeah, exactly. That was an outright lie. He's their second round pick tight end. I mean, Deion Sims was doing nothing. Zach Miller was injured against the Saints. They had no justifiable excuse to literally not play him for almost the entirety of November except the Lions game. And he had a good game against the Lions too. So, and then he disappeared against the Eagles and 49ers because he missed a block in the first quarter against the Eagles against Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham is fucking good. He's, and Adam Shaheen's a rookie, so that should happen. You shouldn't leave a rookie tight end, or you shouldn't leave any tight end 1-1 against a defensive end. So that's on that was on them. But I think this speaks to the original point that we made in the first half with Jeremy, where it's like they're trying to kind of put together some tape. Loggins is trying to salvage a job, so he's finally going to play his best player. He's finally not going to acquiesce to a veteran, a shitty veteran like Sims. I mean, he's not shitty, but he's certainly not really a weapon in the passing game. He's only an average blocker. I mean, Sims is the future for the Bears. Sims can be really good. I expect him to have another game where he catches 4 or 5 passes and probably another score. I mean, he has 4 scores this year, I think, off the top of my head, and they've all been in the red zone. So he might even get a touchdown.
Jeremy, given all that, are you kind of where do you see this matchup going? Maybe something for both Jeremy and Rob here about this matchup between if Adam Shaheen does play, or just in general, the Bears tight ends against a Lions front seven that seems to be regressing pretty damn hard.
Well, I know this Bears offense on paper in terms of their performance for the entire season isn't that scary, but I think this is a horrible matchup for the Lions. I just think the Bears not only typically have the Lions number in terms of competing with them, no matter where the talent level of both teams are, but I just think this specific matchup is really, really bad for the Lions. You know, the Bears are coming off of another 200-yard rushing performance. They ran for 220 against the Lions last time. They really like to do misdirection plays. You know, they like to move around Mitch Trubisky in terms of bootlegs and play action and even a little read option in there. And he ran for, 40, 50 yards against the Lions last time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're headed for a shootout here. And the fact that Adam Shaheen is starting to break out is just, you know, just adds to the fear for me, because the Lions have, as we've seen in the past month or two, haven't really been able to cover tight ends too well either. And then, I don't see how the Lions are going to consistently stop the Bears in this game. And I really expect to see something much like we saw last time, in that it's basically going to be kind of shootouty in this game, even though the Bears offense hasn't been known to be a team that can get into a shootout this year. I think that's what we're in for.
Ryan, anything to add there?
Not really. I mean, I think I, for the most part, agree with Jeremy. I think that it may be a shootout. I mean, I don't think that we were really anticipating that from the first matchup. Put the Lions indoors on their home field, where they have a big tendency in falling behind early on. And I think that's gonna spell for some fireworks on Saturday.
Is this gonna be like a bizarro thing? Like the fact that the Lions seem to always struggle at home, and the Bears? I'm blowing this out my butt. Rob, is it actually? No, wait. I'm absolutely right. So they're 500. Two of the four wins the Bears have been on the road. Not as good as I thought.
This year, I was
just gonna say, it just always feels historically like the Bears seem to struggle with Soldier Field for whatever reason. Am I wrong?
Well, in the Fox era, they've struggled everywhere, but not when like before Soldier Field.
I don't know where this point was going. I dismantled it before I even got here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You weren't saying anything.
I don't know what the fucking point you want. What point?
I don't know. I'm being adequate.
I have something I'd like to talk about.
Yes,
that's
please.
Not necessarily related to this game.
Huh.
Perfect.
Okay. I mean, we're kind of at where we are with this game, right?
It's a Saturday. Are we doing that? We're not doing that.
One thing I think I know.
We might. We'll get there. We'll get there. But I'm with Ryan. This is a Saturday NFL game, and like with these two teams, I'm just shrugging my shoulders. But go on, Ryan. What's your point?
I need to know if you truly believe, Rob, that the Chicago Bears job is the most attractive position in football.
I do. I really do.
Why?
For a coach?
Why?
Because they have the roster pieces in place.
Why? Well, for,
are you going to debate it? No. Listen, we can actually debate this. Like, I'm not going to get angry about it. Like,
I don't want you to get angry about it. I want you to talk about it.
Because they have the roster pieces in place. Because they have the most, to me, they have the most promising quarterback of all the openings. If we're going general manager, that's easily the Browns. But the Browns already have a general manager.
Okay,
strictly coach, it's the Bears.
Let me kind of refine things then. Say the Lions decide to part ways with John Fox. Would you rather want to coach the Bears or the Lions?
I think the Bears have more in place. Well, no, because Stafford is better. No, because Stafford is better than. But that's not an opening. So now you're just now you're.
It might be.
That's not okay. I don't.
It very well could be an opening. I mean, I think this is what kind of sparked this discussion, though. And I know you wrote an article about it. I wrote a much shorter article about it where I did not do my own rankings. But Bill Barnwell put out his piece of the top 10 like most desirable positions, and the Lions didn't make the list because I'm assuming that, I don't know, maybe Bill Barnwell thinks Jim Caldwell's job is safe or he doesn't think it's an attractive position. I don't know.
Who did he have as the first?
Who did he have as the first team?
Are you guys just asking each other?
I'm actually asking.
This is great podcasting.
I legitimately don't remember right now off the top of my head.
It's the Texans.
The Houston Texans. Okay. Yeah. Now, see, I think that if that's a job that, I mean, I think that they probably passed their time with Bill O'Brien too, but then again, I don't think that that's a slam dunk fire necessarily either. But like, I just as a head coach, I don't know if I'm like super excited about going to coach Mitchell Trubisky.
But based on what?
Based on the season?
He hasn't been the reason. He's struggled at times, but he hasn't been the reason. Listen, he had games where he had 7 pass attempts. That's not him. He had games where he had 15 and 16 pass attempts. That's them refusing to put the ball in his hands. For them, they can still get. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I know who I have seen the ball in the hands of, and that's like Deshaun Watson. And I know that if I'm a coach. Like, if you want to talk about a team that has stuff, like, has a roster in place, like, I mean, if J.J. Watt ever gets healthy, I know that's a big if, but, like, I mean, that defense can be one of the best defenses in the NFL if it, you know, adds maybe a couple of other pieces. And then all of a sudden, now you have Deshaun Watson, who, I mean, from all things that we've seen from him this season before he tore his ACL, franchise quarterback right there. So, I don't know. Like,
That's the thing. Is Bill O'Brien going to get fired? Like, and I don't agree with Barnwell on that because I think O'Brien's going to get the Watson excuse because especially how Watson played in those games that he started. I don't think O'Brien's getting canned at all.
It's a difficult question to have right now because we're not sure who's getting fired and who's not getting fired for sure. I mean, you're pretty certain that the Bears are going to fire. You know, John Fox. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. What'd you have to say, like, Jeremy?
The people I put on my list. I mean, I put the Broncos in too. I'm not sure if they're going to fire Vance Joseph. They should. And the Colts. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Colts are going to fire Chuck Pagano, right? So,
no. I don't know. Well, that's the thing. You're talking about Jim Irsay here. I honestly don't know. I don't know when it comes.
Yes, with the list, I had to make assumptions. Like for me, like I don't think. I think the Colts are going to fire Pagano, but Irsay is crazy and he's coked out. And then that's the same thing with the Broncos. And I mean, if the Texans were available, if I thought the Texans job was going to be available, that'd be the most attractive job. I don't think it's going to be available.
Let me ask you this. Since you think, obviously you despise Fox and you think the Bears roster is pretty good, at least going forward. If the Bears had, let's just say, an average coaching staff this year, where do you think they'd be right now?
They'd be 6-7 right now. They'd be 6-7 or 7-6 right now. Probably 6-7 more likely. Regression.
Okay.
All right, let's do things we think we know. So I'm trying to fight off coughing into my microphone right now. So I think we'll start with Ryan. What do you think you know about this game?
I think I know that I will have 3 ice cream sandwiches at the game.
Oh, wait, that's right. You're on duty for this one.
Yeah. I mean, nice. Actually, what I need to find out is how many Alex had, and then I need to have one more than him. But let me figure out what the section numbers are, and I'll see if... I mean, Jeremy, cover your ears. Once I find out what the section numbers are, I'll let people know to go to that section, and I'll drop ice cream sandwiches from the press box.
I like it.
It'll be like the flying lion from the Silverdome.
It's always
little tickets.
It's always been my dream to throw stuff to people in a crowd.
Jeremy, what do you think you know about this game?
I think I'll actually talk about the game since we haven't done that in a good 15 minutes. I think this will actually be... I mean, I haven't made my pick yet, and I'll be completely honest. I'm leaning Bears right now. So I will say the one thing I think I know is that I think the Lions are going to need another gift like they got last time when Trubisky fumbled the handoff and it got returned by DJ Hayden for a touchdown. I think they're going to need a gift like that again. Not that the Bears are capable of giving away those gifts, they absolutely are, but I think the Lions are going to need a gift like that to win the game on Saturday.
Rob, this is the game you really wanted to play, so go ahead. What do you think?
I didn't really want... Okay, not...
Now you're fighting.
I know that's a sig- okay, whatever. I think I know that Jordan Howard is going to have another 100-yard game and probably take over the NFL rushing lead by the end of it. By the end of the weekend. Especially because of the Lions' paltry rushing defense. He had a great game against them last time. I don't really see any reason for him to slow down now as long as the Bears relatively run the same success they've had with them before.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if the Bears don't run for at least 150 total yards in this game. I'd almost expect them to hit 200 again.
And finally, I think I know that this game is going to be exactly what it sounds like on paper. A Saturday NFL football game. Not something we would normally be watching, ever.
I mean, I'm excited.
Do you watch college football?
I said a Saturday NFL game, Jeremy.
Oh, I thought you said football.
I do not watch Alabama games.
Here's the one thing that's nice about this, though. The game's on Saturday. It's the early game. As Bears fans, as Lions fans, this is one thing we can all agree on. We get a chance to watch football on Sunday and not worry about our own teams.
No, because I know exactly what Jeremy will be doing.
Guys, whatever.
I'm just saying, I know exactly what's going
to
happen.
I tried to bring us together, and you're pulling us apart.
Because I know what's going to happen, because if the Lions win, Jeremy is going to sit there on Twitter all Sunday on the Pride of Detroit account and try to talk up how the Lions can make the playoffs, and like we'll be watching three other games for disgusting statements like that.
Are you serious? Did you just...
They got the Panthers. That's a big L for us if the Panthers take that L.
Oh, I, for me, I've stopped caring about the Bears' results. Like I don't care about the Bears on Sundays. Like I watch them and I'm happy when the young guys play, but I don't care at all about the results. But like, Jeremy, that is, sir, I will not have this chicanery. In the words of a famous Pride of Detroit editor, I will not have this.
I'm not.
Hey, man, just because I can still root for my team to make the playoffs doesn't mean you gotta hate.
I would never root for the Packers to help the Bears. I would never do that.
That
makes you a bad fan.
Lie. That's a bold face.
I would not. I would not.
If the Bears had the opportunity next season to be the number one seed in the NFC and get a bye and get home field advantage throughout the playoffs, if the Packers beat Team X, which would probably be the Lions. But like, you would absolutely root for the Packers.
Are you rooting for the Packers, Ryan?
I have to.
Yes.
I didn't root for the Packers last week. I rooted for my Browns, but I can't say they're my Browns anymore because they're not.
this is just
cowards.
I'm ending it right now. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Cowards.